Amen. As we dive into the word, let's just invite the Holy Spirit to be the teacher today. Lord God, we are thankful that you have already made your presence known in this place. And Lord, we acknowledge that the true teacher is no man, but you work through men. That the true teacher is the Holy Spirit. You said in your word that the Holy Spirit would remind us of all things that you have said, Lord Jesus. And so in this moment, we give this time, we give this word, we give this message over to the Holy Spirit. Would you speak to us today, God? Speak to us through your word. Order our steps through your word. Guide us through your word. Empower us through your word. And transform us by your word. Lord, I pray for every hearer in this room that their ears are open, that their hearts are ready, that their hearts are good ground for the seed of your word that is about to be sown. And I thank you in advance that you will bring about a harvest. As your word is sown, let there be a harvest. Some 30 times more, some 60 times more, some 100 times more what the seed has been planted. And God, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, we're in our Do Less, Be More series. And I want to open up with a story. How many of you remember when you learned how to ride your bike without training wheels? Anybody remember that? I remember that. I think I was about 5 or 6 years old. I had this cool little dark purple bike. It was a manly purple. It's a manly purple. But it was smooth, man. It was shiny. You remember the little tassels on the handlebars? Had my little purple streamers, and the day came when my dad said, okay, I've been watching you, you've been riding, you're doing well, it's time for the training wheels to come off, son. And I said, okay, let's do it. So he takes I had my little matching purple training wheels too. He took the training wheels off, and I remember getting on the bike, and he's holding the back seat of the bike, and he's like, okay, let's go, just start pedaling. And I start pedaling and I start pedaling and I feel like, hey, I think I'm doing it. I'm making this thing happen. And then I feel a little push and I look back and he's gone. Although he's kind of running behind me like, you can do it. You can do it. And I remember the freedom I felt when I realized I can ride this bike without training wheels. I'm a big boy now. And it's so funny, as we were preparing this illustration about this training wheels, it just so happened that one of our former pastors, who's now pastoring a church up in Illinois, Pastor Jeremiah, he posted this week an Instagram of him teaching his son to ride a bike without training wheels for the first time. Take a look.
Pedal, 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 you got it. Pedal, you got it. You're doing it.
I love that. And he was just saying, just pedal, keep pedaling, keep pedaling, keep pedaling. You know, that's what God is saying to us. He's saying, just keep pedaling. I'm right here with you. I'm not gonna, we're taking the training wheels off, but I'm not gonna leave you by yourself. Just keep pedaling, keep riding. I'm right there with you. See, today I want to talk to you about how God is our helper. I want to talk to you about how he is right there beside us. That he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the Greek is called the parakletos, which means the one who comes alongside you. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He comes alongside us as we're riding through life, as the training wheels are being taken off of our lives. He's not leaving us by ourselves, but he's right there with us. to lead, to guide, and direct. I also want to tell you today that there is a flow with the movement of God that you can be a part of, that you can flow with him, that you can grow with him, that you can go with him. I want to open up with a passage from Psalm 46, beginning at verse 1 through 5. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. Say it with me. She will not fall. See, all throughout Scripture, God uses this metaphor of water and rivers. And the rivers or waters oftentimes represent the movement of the Holy Spirit. See, I want to show you today that God's river is a continual flow of his grace and power for those who will seek him and believe him. See, Psalm 46, it speaks of this river. And the thing that I love about what that psalm teaches, perhaps the most significant blessing that comes out of that psalm is this, is that this river brings God into the midst of his people. It brings his presence into the midst of his people. It brings his power into the midst of his people. It brings his provision right into the middle of his people. See, I want you to leave today with a picture of a river in your mind. I brought a picture along with me just to help you out. I mean, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that river peaceful? But you know, rivers aren't always peaceful. You know, sometimes rivers can be peaceful. Sometimes rivers can bring you to a quiet place. But how many of you have ever been whitewater rafting? There's a lot of crazy folk in this service. I've never been, but I have watched it on TV. And sometimes life can be like a whitewater rafting experience. I brought another picture along to show you. I mean, sometimes when you get into the river doesn't always go to the smooth places. Sometimes there's some torrential places that you go. But here's what I want to encourage you. As you step into the flow of God's river, don't get out. Just stay there. Just stay there with him. Hang on. Stay with him because his river is going to a place of provision, a place of blessing. And I'm going to talk about that place of blessing and provision as we go on. See, what if I told you that there's a river that will take you to your daily destinations without striving and struggling and pressing through in your own strength? What if I told you that this river empowers you, it lifts you, it carries you? I talked about this on Wednesday night at the prayer service, that the Holy Spirit is not an it, but the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is one that you can have a personal relationship with. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are three in one, not three gods. One God who is manifested in three persons. And the Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity that you can connect with by name. Yes. And who will bring you into a flow and an experience with God that is full of provision. And he will teach you that you can do this without relying on your own human effort. So the first point I want to make to you today is, number one, I want you to avoid the trying harder error. I want you to avoid the trying harder error. See, the Apostle Paul was teaching the Galatian church. Galatian church was comprised of many of those who had been Jews, who had been under the law of Moses, and they were accustomed to rule following as a way to engage in relationship with God. But then Jesus comes on the scene and he teaches salvation by grace through faith. And he teaches them, this is something you can't earn, baby. You cannot earn this gift of salvation. It is a gift that can only be obtained, entered into, acquired by faith. But these Israelites started to slip back into rule following. And so it became trust Jesus plus the rules. And the Apostle Paul is like, wait, like I know rules. Like I was a Pharisee. Like I know rules, and I didn't get saved by any of the rules that I followed. So he confronts them. He comes back. Look at Galatians chapter 1. And he says this, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. The gospel that they turned to was the gospel of, I'm going to pursue Jesus, but I got to check all of these things off the list to make sure that I do it right. And see, they taught us in, the Apostle Paul taught us in Romans chapter 7. He said that the law was given for a purpose. That the law was given to man to show man that it was impossible for man to fulfill the law. That the law wasn't given because man would be able to fulfill it. The law was given to show man, no matter how hard you try, you're going to blow it. Do you know what the law says? The scripture teaches us that the law says, if you transgress one of the laws, you become guilty of having broken them all. Wait. So what you're saying, okay, I didn't cheat on my wife, but I lied on my taxes. You're saying that makes me an adulterer too? Yes, if you break one, you've broken them all. Oh man, well what? How in the world can I ever get out of this? You cannot. You know, people are fond of saying, hey, well, you know, nobody's perfect. That's just another way of saying everybody is a sinner. And if that is true, and it is true, and you are now guilty, what do? There's only one solution, and Jesus solved it. He's the only one who could, in fact, be perfect. The only one who could, in fact, pay the price. He pays the price, and he says, now I present to you your righteousness by faith in me alone. And anytime we add anything else to that in order to obtain salvation, the Apostle Paul says, that's a different gospel. It's a different message than the one he came to preach. And then he goes on, Galatians 3:2, he says, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? See, isn't this what we do? I mean, we fall back into the trap of trying to enter into a relationship with God by good human effort. If I can just learn to think better, God will love me more. If I could just learn to do better, then God will love me more. If I can just get myself together, if I could just be more patient, God will, if I can stop my outbursts of anger, if I can stop lusting after that man or lusting after that woman, God will just, he will love me better. And the Apostle Paul says, that's a different gospel. See, oftentimes we engage in human behavior. I have people say all the time, you know what, I'm not, you know, I'll be out in the street and I'll, you know, invite somebody and say, oh no, I can't come to church. I got to get myself together first. How are you going to do that? No, I can't do any serving in the church. I got to get myself together. How are you going to do that? Because the reality is that Jesus is trying to show us, listen, without me, you can do nothing. It's all about him. It's not some of him. It's not he's compartmentalized and he'll do a little something over here and he'll leave the rest to you. He's saying, I leave nothing to you. It's all on me. It's all on me. See, we listen, when you look at Galatians chapter 5, and in Galatians chapter 5, it lists the fruit of the Spirit. It's love. It's joy. It's peace. It's self-control. So what do? We're struggling in self-control. We're struggling in love. We're struggling in joy. So what are we going to do? We're going to try to work up some self-control. We're going to try to work up some joy. We're going to try to work up some patience. It's the fruit of the Spirit, which means it's not yours anyway. You don't have any patience. You don't have self-control. It comes from somewhere. So Jesus is teaching his disciples in John chapter 15. He says, listen, get clear. I am the vine and you are the branches. Anyone who abides in me will bear much fruit. So where does the fruit come? If you're the branch, where does the fruit come? It's not a trick question. It comes from the vine. So how does the branch get the fruit that hangs off of it? It's attached to the vine. So if you got an issue with self-control, you got an issue with patience, you got an issue with not being able to love, you have an attachment problem. What are you attached to? Whatever you are attached to is what produces the fruit. So when I look at myself and go, oh, wow, Jamal, you really did not handle the kids or your wife very well today. I got an attachment problem. Lord, what was I attached to today that produced that fruit of impatience? Help me get back to the vine. It's the attachment to the vine. If you're lacking in those areas, it's not that God is saying you need to get more fruit. No. He's saying you need to get a closer attachment. Which means, now get this, it also means you may need to detach from some things. But watch this. But watch this. See, God is so good. Because, see, I know some of you already went, well, I'm trying to get detached. And I can't get detached. The issue isn't in the detaching. The issue is in the attaching. See, I have learned some things in my life. And one of the things that I learned is the more I focused on the thing that I did not want to do, the more I ended up doing the thing that I did not want to do. You don't get attached by focusing on the detached. You get attached by focusing on the attachment. Lord, help me. Lord, I'm calling on you. Lord, I'm reaching out to you. And I have realized it's amazing what falls off you. When you just attach to something else. You start attaching to life and that other stuff, it just starts drying up. Like, oh, wow, that fell off. Did you see that? That thing fell off of me. But unfortunately, many of us are like, no, I'm going to saw this thing off myself. And it's just like one of those reptiles where the limb grows right back as soon as you cut that thing off. But God is asking us, what are you attached to? The vine has the life in and of itself. See, some of us look like this diagram. We try harder. We get fatigued. We quit. We get guilty. And then what do? Try harder again. And then we try harder. We get fatigued. We quit. We get guilty. And, well, let's try it again. That's a great idea. Let's try for the 50th time the thing that didn't work the last 49 times. Let's just do that again. But God is calling us to come into his flow, to attach to him. See, we have a problem. And see, there's us on one side, and then there's God on the other side. And in the middle, we have a gap. And we try to throw all kinds of things into that gap in order to get to God. But there's only one thing that bridges that gap. And that one thing is God's grace. The Holy Spirit himself. Do you know you can't even come into a relationship with Jesus except the Holy Spirit does work in your life? If you had the fortune of saying yes to Jesus' salvation invitation, you didn't even do that on your own. The Holy Spirit was drawing you in. He was working on your heart. In fact, in the book of Hebrews, it calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of grace. Do you know what grace is? Grace is something that you cannot earn. It is a favor given to you that can't be bought. It can't be earned. It can only be received. See, this really messes us up, right? Because we live in a world that none of that computes. You mean to tell me that the most valuable thing that I can ever obtain in life is a gift that is free? Where they do that at? I mean, it's a free gift. And he's saying, all you can do is say yes. All you can do is say yes to my gift, but you can't earn it. It's already been earned for you. It's already been paid for you. It's a gift. I mean, imagine on Christmas Day. This will never happen in my house. But just imagine, let's just say it would. That on Christmas Day, the kids come down, they see their gifts. And they unwrap their gifts and they go, Dad, Mom, we are so appreciative. Can we pay you for this? Now, how ridiculous would that be? First of all, you broke. I mean, even if you wanted to pay me, you couldn't. And it's the same thing with Jesus. Even though we have this thing inside of us that wants to try to find a way to pay him back for what he's done, we can't pay him back. We just have to say thank you for the gift. Thank you for the gift. And so the second thing that I want to bring your attention to is this. I want you to embrace life in the flow. Embrace life in the flow. Rivers are mentioned over 150 times in Scripture. And it's usually a picture, a vibrant picture of the spiritual life. And Jesus, being the master teacher, oftentimes taught about rivers and water because he understood the importance of the metaphor amongst people who lived in the middle of a desert. Israel in the middle of a desert. And so water was critical. And there's this account that happens in Ezekiel chapter 47, and it talks about this vision that Ezekiel had. And he's being led by this angel, and the angel is showing him this vision, and the angel takes him to the temple. And as he gets to the temple, coming out of the temple door is just a little trickle of water. And then the angel leads him out 1,500 more feet. And now the trickle of water comes up to the ankle. And then he takes him out 1,500 feet more. And then the water has risen up to the waist. And then he takes him out 1,500 feet more. And the water becomes a raging river. And he's painting a picture. See, I believe this teaches us a very valuable lesson. See, the further you go with God, the deeper the water gets. The more you trust him, the more you reach for him, the deeper the water gets. And do you know what happens? See, the deeper the water gets, the less control you have. See, you may be, I can take a little ankle water. Yeah, it's all right. It's good. Then you might be to dance around a little bit in the knee water. Okay, I'm good. I can't move quite as fluidly as I would like, but I can still make some decisions. When you get up to waist deep water, it's like, okay. All right. It's getting a little, I don't know if I really want to go much further than this. But God is saying, come on. Come on out. Because he wants us in the place where he's completely in control. He wants us in the place where he is the one who is moving us and directing us and leading us and guiding us. He wants us in the flow of his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was complete control. He wants you to have a spirit-filled, spirit-controlled life, which means you don't get to determine the direction that the water goes. You don't even get to determine the direction that you go or flow in the water. See, some of us, y'all are just like me. I like control. Any other folks like control? I like to know when. I like to know where. I like to know how long. I want to know how much. I want to know on what day. And God is so funny because he doesn't even care that I want all of that. He just says, get in. Just get in. Tell somebody, just get in. See, he is not interested in leaving you in control of a place that you have no idea where you are going. But here's something I love about this illustration with Ezekiel. Because with this illustration with Ezekiel, he begins to see what the benefits are of this river that is coming from the temple of God. In Ezekiel 47:9, it says, there will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, say it with me, everything will live. Oh, do you see that? See, why does he want them out in the river? Because life is in the river. He's not trying to bring us into the river to harm us. He's trying to bring us into the river to give us life. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that abundantly. Yes. Why does he want you in the place where you are out of control? Because the place where you are out of control and he is in control is the place of life. Yes. Life and abundance. And then it says there'll be many fish there. You know what fish represent in the scripture? It always represents people. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. See, God is saying the place that I cause my river to flow, I will cause life to come to people. People will come to know me. People will come to submit to me. People will experience the life that is truly life. And then look at this. Then it goes on in verse 12. It says that there will be fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. Every month they will bear, because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food, and their leaves for healing. Do you see what he is trying to get to us through this river imagery? On the banks of the river, there are trees, and they bear fruit every month. Every month. There's no trees that produce fruit every month in the natural. I mean, apple trees have seasons. Orange trees have seasons. Fig trees have seasons. Olive trees have seasons. But the trees that are connected to this river, every month, they're producing fruit. They're producing fruit. They're producing fruit. It's an incredible picture of the provision and the abundance that God desires for those who are willing. For those who are willing to get into his flow. I want you to look at this. There's another picture that comes from Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, talking about the man of God, the woman of God who trusts God. It says, he or she shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, say whatever. Whatever he does shall prosper. Do you see what God desires for you? But see, you know what? See, we want that. We want that blessing from God. We want that provision from God, but we want to stay on the riverbank. We're going to walk along the bank and go, yeah, man, that's. Yeah, can I get that up here? Because, you know, that water, I mean, it's moving a little fast and it looks deep. I can't even see the bottom. But he's saying, no, come on in. There's life in here. There's abundance in here. There's blessing in here. There's provision in here. But, you know, some of us, we'll stick a little toe. Ho! A little chilly. Just a little chilly. That was close enough, God. That was close enough. Or then some of us might, you know, we might stoop down and, you know, grab a little water. Okay, I'm good, Lord. I'm good. Now, some of us get bold and we'll sit down on the bank and stick our legs in there. I'm good, Lord. Just let it run on by. But no, that's not what he's asking for. He's asking for us to trust him and take a plunge and go wherever he flows us to go and do whatever he's called us to do and experience the abundance that only comes from getting in. It's not up here. I know this is safe. I know this is safe up here. I know on the side of the river you think it's safe, but I'm going to tell you something. It's the most dangerous place you could be. The safest place you can be is the place that you are the most emotionally vulnerable. Oh, I know. See, y'all like comfort. I do too. I like control and I like comfort. And God doesn't care. Because he has called us to trust. He's called us to let go. See, I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's somebody in this place that he's saying, you've got to let go. You've got to step out. You've got to be willing. You think that you are safe up on the shore, but you're not. Because the place of abundance is in the flow. The place of safety is in the flow. And he's just saying, come on. Come on out of that ankle deep water. Some of y'all are trudging around in ankle deep water. Some of y'all are in knee deep water. Some of you are in waist deep water. And he's saying, there's more. Now, some of y'all are not in the water at all. But I want to say this. Jesus says something as I get ready to close. I got one more point after this, but I want to share the scripture. Jesus comes into Jerusalem on the last day of what is called the Feast of Tabernacles. And in this Feast of Tabernacles, the high priest on that day, as a part of the ceremony, would take a golden pitcher and he would dip it into the pool of Siloam. And as a part of the ceremony, he would pour that water out onto the dry ground, because Israel was in a desert. And it was symbolic of the reality that water is scarce in the desert, but God himself will be our river in dry places. So it was just religious ritual and symbolism for them. But Jesus comes into that situation on the last day of the feast. The water had already been poured out, and Jesus comes up knowing what they had just witnessed. John 7 in verse 37, it says, "Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." What an incredible, staggering promise. Jesus is saying, the symbolism in that picture of water, I'm telling you, I am the river. I am the one who provides in a dry place. And not only if you come to me will you drink, but in addition to drinking, something's going to happen in you. Inside of you and out from you will flow a river of living water. Not only do you get in the river, but you become a river. See, many of us don't even realize what we're cheating ourselves of. We're thinking, "Oh, I'm gonna play it safe, and I'm not gonna give it all to Jesus. I'm not gonna throw this thing into salvation." Listen, let me tell you what Jesus wants. He wants you to throw it all in the river. Throw you in the river. Throw your money in the river. Throw your wife and your husband in the river. Throw the kids in the river. Now, let me just be clear. Because, see, I don't want none of y'all talking about, "You know what? Now, the preacher told me if you acted up today, I could throw you in the river." I don't want to be on Channel 5 tonight. That is not what I said. It's a metaphor. You get that, right? I know they get on your nerves. Hey, I might feel like throwing some of mine in the river before the day is over. But my point is, commit everything to him. Your life, your destiny, your future, everything that is important, throw it in to him. And he's saying, in return, when I get it, I will do something with it, and I will do something in you that will make you a life-giving person to others. Out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Let me close with this last point. I've really already made the point, but I haven't just illustrated it, but it's very clear. Number three, the flow is in the surrender. The flow is in the surrender. See, it's a simple message today that God is calling you to surrender. And there are different levels of surrender. Some of you are first level surrenderers. Those who have not even given their lives to Jesus yet. But he's saying, "I brought you today to give you this invitation, to give you this opportunity to come on off the bank of controlling it yourself, the bank of doing it your way, and to step into this river called salvation. To recognize that perhaps you are attached to things that don't produce life, but he is in turn saying, just attach yourself to me. If there's a stirring in your heart around that, it just means that the Holy Spirit is at work. And then there are some of you who are at various other levels where maybe you're in the ankle deep water. He's saying, come on out. You know me. You already trust me, but I want you deeper. You might be at the knee deep water. He's saying, come on further. You trust me. You know me, but I want you deeper. You might be at waist deep water, and he's saying, you know me, trust me, I want you deeper. And you know what some of us are? Some of us got out there in the water. The boat got capsized. And we said, you know what? I ain't going back. Because he didn't respond like we expected. But I want to tell you, he's still trustworthy. And he's not done. So I don't know where you fit on that continuum, but we're going to pray. You know where you fit, and this is an opportunity for you to do some business with God. Would you bow your heads? Father, you know the heart condition of every person in this place. And so first of all, God, I want to address the group who is outside of a saving relationship with you. They're standing on the banks of being distant from a saving relationship with Jesus, but you're doing a work in them in this moment. And you're saying, repent. Give me your life. If that's you, I'm not going to call you out. You know who you are because the Holy Spirit's already pegged you. And I'm just simply going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, that's me. I'm a sinner. I have not made you my Lord and Savior. But today, I want to. Today, I want to give you my life. Just go ahead and tell him, today, I want to attach to your vine. And now just say to him, Jesus, save me. Jesus, make me new. And then the last thing is this. Just tell him, Jesus, I make you my Lord today. And I will follow you the best I know how, as your Spirit leads. In Jesus' name, amen.